might have to be so many interim arrangements. We will make certain proposals. You will, I accept some proposals. You will reject other proposals. You might make some proposals of an interim character. Because I remember telling you and others from India that I find it difficult that in one sweep, there can be a solution to this problem. There might be some interim arrangements. Now, in the past, suggestions have been made of an interim character. I don't say we accept them, but they have been made. For instance, it was said at one stage that there could be some kind of a joint presence of India and Pakistan. On another occasion, it was suggested that there can be a United Nations, Pakistan, India, some kind of a commission. And after a period of 5 years or so, there can be a plebiscite. Some people said after a period of 10 years. Others had suggested arbitration on the matter. Some had suggested mediation. There were so many such proposals made in the past. Now, these are all out of date. And if we get together again, put our heads together and try and resolve the problem, get out of the impasse, then it will be possible to at least hope for something. Now, how can I here sitting in Rawalpindi tell you this is my idea of the settlement? Suppose I tell you this is my idea of the settlement. It does not lie in my hands that you will accept my idea of the settlement. Why then unnecessarily talk in the air? I have subscribed to the principle of a negotiated settlement.
Sir, when you said about this reduction of forces, now the stand of the Indian government is since said that they have a long border with China, and that border is bristling with hostility anyway. So how can they reduce their forces when they have such a giant to face and they have no relations with them yet? I mean, say no friendly relations. And that is the reason that they cannot. I'm just giving you the reasons which was given out, that is the reason that we cannot reduce this quantum of forces, etc. We would like to, but this is the reply.
Now, in the first place, this is the reply they have given you. But they have given us no reply. They have ignored the proposal, and it is a proposal of a far-reaching nature.
No, but did you make it an official? I mean, did you just...
Well, you take cognizance of so many unofficial things. So the point is that I made it in the United States during my visit there. And the United States is not an unimportant forum. And now that is first point. Secondly, you can say the stand of your government is a long border with China. I am not interested in a technical stand. I am interested in going to the basis of our problems and how we can collectively, in you in your country, we in our country, break this back of poverty and misery and squalor. But if we go on stand, then I will tell you what the stand of our government is, that we have a long border with you, we have a long border with Afghanistan. It is a rugged border with Afghanistan, and our problems with Afghanistan have been reopened by Daud government. Now, then I can tell you in reply to your position or stand that you are trying to have peaceful relations with China. You are making statements every second day in parliament that you would like to have good relations with China, and that now there is no cause for you to feel that the giant across the Himalayas is going to come rolling down the hills. So you see, we can go about on the basis of your stand and my stand. It's about time we stop standing and sat down.
But you think that India can safely accept your proposal, I'm saying, without jeopardizing its defense?
The principle of it is that any form of disarmament, the most complicated form of disarmament, can be worked out. On that, neither the Soviet Union or the United States disagree. That with the availability of inspection and various other mechanisms, it is possible to effect not only partial disarmament but universal disarmament. Now, if that is acceptable and if it's possible for the most highly developed states, how is it not developed to reduce forces between India and Pakistan and to provide necessary safeguards to see that that both countries abide by the agreement? It's not an impracticable proposition. More complicated problems of this nature have been resolved and can be resolved.
Sir, then, if I may say so, how about this No War Pact? Why don't you enter into No War Pact with India?
Because No War Pact has a bad history.
It's
as simple as that. It has a very bad history. People have associated No War Pact with capitulation. This has now become a fixation in the minds of the people. I wish this phrase No War Pact had not been persistently used and persistently rebutted in the same language. You used one set of jargon, we used another set of jargon, now that's become a kind of
fixation in the people's mind.
No War Pact means end of sovereignty of Pakistan, No War Pact means capitulation.
And now, if you were to start today, as you said, in conciliation between India and Pakistan, your priority is first resumption of diplomatic relations. Maybe that can be first the visit of Mrs. Gandhi.
Independent.
Yes.
Because that will accelerate. Or it will make us understand that it can't be accelerated.
Mm-hmm. You have, apart from the Simla, have you extended any invitation to
him? We have repeatedly said it. And I've also, I think, in one of the communications of Aziz Ahmad, I'm not mistaken, this was mentioned. But I will not...
I'm just saying that...
I think it has been formally...
Then...
The first diplomatic.
Yes. Second, Mrs. Gandhi's visit. Mrs. Gandhi's visit, our diplomatic, that is the thing. And the third, you said, okay, once this thing is done, then we sit across the table and try to solve other problems. And the biggest problem out of is Kashmir, this one. That is. And there will be, as you said...
I'll give you more specifically. Diplomatic relations, restoration of communications, posts and telegraphs, communications, airlines, trade. At one stage you people were so keen for trade, and now trade has suddenly become unimportant. How is trade unimportant? Trade between our two countries will again promote economic welfare of both peoples. Trade and relaxation on travel. That will cover not only journalists.
Yes.
It will cover pilgrims. It will cover
friends,
tourists,
anybody who's come
coming out and going. Now see, those steps will in themselves promote many other developments. It will set into motion a host of new developments. And political events, they carry their own dynamism.
No, but would you like to do these things before this end of the repatriation of prisoners or straight?
You see, the question is that the repatriation of prisoners is now hinging on 195. Mm-hmm. I accept that you're going to repatriate after this. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt about that. That I don't see how it will serve India's purpose to keep those prisoners in India.
Recall your words, you said it will start very soon, diminishing returns.
Yes.
You remember?
Yes. That is so. So I have no doubts on that. Now, where we are really stuck is on 195. There also, we are not really stuck. Because according to the Delhi Agreement, they can't go to East Pakistan or to Bangladesh without our agreement. They can't come here without the agreement. So this problem is really a problem between them and us. Between Mr. Mujib Rahman and us. And so I have no objection. I would welcome any time a dialogue between India and Pakistan.
And straight at summit level.
That is the best level.
Yes, you told me last time also. Yes. But when you say the talks with Mujib Rahman, then I would come to that question by recognition of Bangladesh. And I believe, I would say how far it is true, I don't know, that you reportedly told Mrs. Gandhi that, well, in July or August I would recognize Bangladesh, or something like that.
No, you know, I've cleared that quite often. What I told her was that I'm thinking aloud, I said to her. And I needn't have, if we had not made progress in our talks, and it was done in with the best of intentions. I said, I'm thinking aloud. I hope that I'll be able to take this question of Bangladesh to the National Assembly in July and August. And when I came back, the first thing I did was to hold a meeting of the Central Committee of my party. And every member of the party said that the country wasn't ready for it. At that time, Mr. Kasturi was a member of our party, he was a member of the Central Committee. And he was the most vociferous on this point, not that he did not want this to happen, but he had cold feet to face the people. And he said that we'll be lynched and we'll be stoned and he won't be able to live in Lahore, things like that.
Achha. Now he's the most, most critic.
In the Central Committee, these were his words. I'm not criticizing.
No.
I'm just telling you that
even he
said that we won't be able to live. Mm. We'll be stoned, and I won't be able to live in Lahore. Now, that was a kind of sentiment which spread in the National Assembly, that they will not be able to go back to their homes. You know how it is when a crisis takes place in the subcontinent, you hear people, especially small ones, immediately saying, "Ki hum ghar nahi ja sakenge, hum reh nahi sakenge, hum shakal bata nahi sakenge," and all that sort of thing. Now that kind of the sentiment, having restored democracy, parliamentary democracy, I was not able to go to the Assembly at that time. But this has not, this does not mean that my steps have been inconsistent with the objective of recognition. At every turn, at every point, I have told the people that it is in our interest and it is in everyone's interest to recognize them. In the beginning, in this very place in Rawalpindi, I was addressing a public meeting. It was a very successful public meeting, but when I came to the question of recognition, Sten guns and automatics were fired and people ran helter-skelter. Afterwards, Sten guns and automatics were not fired, but stones were thrown. Now, at least we have proceeded from Sten guns to stones and from stones to heckles. And we have therefore brought the people to this point of view slowly, step by step. There has been no action of ours, no statement of ours, which has gone opposite to that declaration and that avowed objective.
But you know, National Assembly, which gave you the authority,
there
it was only if trial doesn't take place of this thing. It didn't say release of 195, only trial. You know that, as you say, they have been postponed indefinitely or they wouldn't. So what is the hitch now?
Oh, there are some new developments. And I am going to talk on these new developments in the National Assembly.
Okay, the foreign debate.
Yes.
So there is some new hitch which has.
No, not huge. New development towards reconciliation.
Development towards. Have you made any attempt to meet Mujibur Rahman? Because last time when I met you said,
We had met, but. It was not sincerely pursued on the other side, and we also didn't carry on the effort. We did make a general approach of a meeting long ago, and it didn't produce any results, and then we didn't try again.
What I find is I don't know, maybe I'm wrong in my assessment in this country, that in the last 20 months ago when I came. That time, I found people not talking so much about Kashmir. But this time, whenever I've talked to people, maybe at that time they were very near the events of East Pakistan.
71.
And now there are very many talking about it. Mostly, I'm talking about Punjab and Karachi and here in Rawalpindi. Very much. Am I correct in my assessment that it is very much in the minds of the people?
I cannot say this much, but it cannot be forgotten by the people. Mm-hmm. And it would be naive or foolish for any government in Pakistan to think that people will forget the Kashmir problem. But I do know that the people want its solution.
Yes, that is obvious.
People want its solution, that doesn't mean people want to go to war. I mean, the two are different things. But they would like to get it out of the way, perhaps because three wars have taken place because of it. Maybe that is another reason why people say, well, let's at least resolve this basic problem over which we've gone to war two or three times. That is that aspect of it. But why is it all that relevant? Because, as I said, we are committed to a negotiated and a peaceful, honorable settlement, and we will make every effort to arrive at that honorable settlement.